This episode of iRescue Radio is brought to you by ProCPR.org. Online CPR training, when you want it, where you want it.
And welcome back to another episode of iRescueRadio.com. I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
And we are excited to be back in the studios. Last episode, we were at Starbucks enjoying a great dark chocolate Casi Cielo. Mm-hmm. And now we're enjoying the same thing, but out of the brewery of the ProCPR Helm, loving coffee. Mm-hmm. That was a fun show.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't know. We didn't know how it'd turn out.
Yeah. Oh,
Paul works some miracles.
Yeah, he does. Every time.
It's amazing. Quite the engineer over there.
Kind of walks on water
here. Well, you know. Did you guys hear the crazy story about the man who puts the 911 dispatchers on hold for no other reason than to buy drugs?
I did hear that.
This is Paul Harvey.
This is crazy. I mean, this guy in Cleveland, Ohio, the Associated Press said, the police in Cleveland said that a man called 911 because he felt he was in danger and then asked the dispatcher to hold on while he made a drug deal.
He was in danger because he saw two guys with guns.
Yeah, kind of normal for drug dealing.
Yeah.
It just meant had the other shoe been on the other foot,
yeah,
he had the two guns and they didn't,
right,
would he have placed the call?
You know, this you know, this smacks just like of the story where you hear like the thief that broke into a house and got locked in.
Yeah.
So he called police and then sued the people that he was stealing,
right,
from. I mean, come on.
Yeah, broke his arm because the window slammed down, yeah, on it when he was sneaking into the house. Yeah,
yeah.
No. Like, well, it gets better. Police said Melendez called 911 late Saturday and reported that two men with guns were watching him. Police.
I wonder why.
Yeah. Police records show that he hung up, so the dispatcher called back, of course.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, it's police.
Yeah, did you come?
Okay. Well, what do they look? We're on the way. What do they look like?
They're black.
Two black males?
Yes.
What are they wearing?
They're all black on the blue light.
Wearing all black?
Yeah.
And what side of the street are they on?
No, they was in the parking lot. They was there, and they was looking up.
In the parking lot?
Yeah, and that's when I left the house.
I have the caller on the phone. He said it's two black males. They're wearing all black, and they're in the parking lot downstairs. Okay, I want you to stay on the phone with me, okay?
All right. I left the house, and now I'm on the main street.
What do you mean you left? Where are you at?
Left. What's up?
Hello?
Yeah.
All right, he's telling me now he left. Stand by. Where did you go?
I'm right here. I'm right by the pit stop. Hold on 1 second. Oh, sir. What you need, 10 cents? You need 10 cents? All right.
Okay.
75. Yeah.
Yeah, he's in front of the pit stop doing a drug exchange.
Police said 10-pack is slang for a bundle of heroin. The dispatcher called police who found Melendez at the location he gave.
He hadn't left.
He was still there.
He hadn't moved. And the dispatcher called his cell phone again and said they found cocaine in his trousers. There was no immediate indication Tuesday if Melendez, 20, had an attorney to speak for him.
I guess if you're taking cocaine that much, you probably aren't thinking that straight anyhow.
That's just classic.
It is.
That is just
classic. Well, and how often do we make it a point to talk about emergency response not responding,
yeah,
fast enough?
Yeah.
So we have to assume that he was there for a long time.
Obviously, wow, yeah.
And the police finally showed up. And he's still there.
He's still the same place.
I mean, he was screaming to get arrested.
Oh, yeah.
Very.
This seems dangerous. I better call 911.
It's got to be warmer in the cell than it is out tonight.
Maybe,
yeah,
maybe that's exactly why he did it. There you go. Now we know why he got called.
Oh, my lands. That's funny. Well, oh, and then in the news as well, you know, some interesting stuff happening politically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's really kind of holding on to see what's going to happen with this medical health insurance reform. And
correct,
I think there's a lot of people on the edge of their seat to say, is it going to be nationalized? Is it going to,
yeah,
be privatized? If it is, how are we going to fix some of the things that are broken? Well, we've actually got another story in this show that's going to talk about things that are going to help us realize that our health insurance and our health policies are awfully good.
Yeah, healthcare system.
Our healthcare system is very good compared to some countries. Mm-hmm. At the same time, this is kind of a blow for the Obama administration, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we said before, like him or not, he's our president, and we need to, you know, say a prayer for him and support him in as much as we can as patriots. And but this is kind of a bummer. Here we've got a story that talks about former Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle, mm-hmm. Democrat of South Dakota, right?
Right. Yep.
And on Tuesday, he had to withdraw his nomination as the HHS Secretary amid concerns about the disclosure of his recent payments of back taxes and interest. Yep. Now, a move that could affect health care reform efforts by President Obama. Now, the reason we mention this is because I'm kind of, we're all wrapped up in the healthcare industry.
Yeah. Right.
And there's a lot of people that are going without good treatment because they cannot afford it, whether that be proactive treatment.
Yeah, correct.
Or reactionary treatment.
Right.
And this was a hope by a lot of people that finally a good person was going to get in there. And Dan, you talked about this in detail, why this is such a hubbub right now.
Well, it is. And I think regardless of your politics, having an honest discussion on the healthcare industry as a whole, I think it's 13% of our GDP. It's a major mm-hmm. component of our industry, along with manufacturing and Wall Street and financial and that sort of thing.
Right.
To take a 30,000-foot view of the whole thing mm-hmm. and identify the goods, the bads, and the wasteful.
Yep.
Right? The hope for the pick by President Obama was Tom Daschle. He had had a great deal of healthcare industry experience, and he had a great deal of respect within the walls of Congress.
Okay.
He was a lobbyist, in other words, right?
Well, he was as a Senate Majority Leader mm-hmm. at the time. Prior to him, ironically, losing he lost his Senate seat through mm-hmm. just general election. Mm. So it was kind of a blow out of left field.
Yeah.
But he stayed involved. But regardless of that, he knew everybody in there. He knew how to craft legislation that was greased to the point that it could pass mm-hmm. or have a darn good chance of passing.
Okay.
In the interim, mm-hmm. President Obama passes an ethics law or policy mm-hmm. to simply identify how lobbyists impact the process of governing.
Oh, yeah, right.
And as well, just having higher ethical standards for those that are going to be in his administration and impacting.
Yeah.
And he had just gone through with Tim Geithner. Mm-hmm. Had $9,000 of back taxes or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. It didn't impact him getting the job as, I believe, Commerce Secretary. But it had everything to do, but it did raise serious questions. If he's not paying his taxes, and you and I, who struggle to feed our families and live a middle-class life, you know, we fear the IRS, right?
It tears down the American confidence in
this. Absolutely. It's another statement that says if you're in higher places, you can get away with things.
So but is this
regardless,
person,
he passed. I think that the next largest commissioner to try to go through the process of approval by the Senate, having $100,000 plus outstanding tax bill, which he'd paid,
right?
But not when he was supposed to. It was only when he was getting vetted that it really smacked of, oh, geez, I better get this paid. I think Daschle saw the writing on the wall. Would the American public have the confidence that the information he's given, given that he'd given speeches to the healthcare industry for pay, he essentially was a lobbyist in his time out of office, during the Bush administration, and now was seeking to get back into it, but clearly was the classic example of what President Obama was saying he didn't want.
Yeah.
And yet his impact and his counsel to President Obama during the campaign mm-hmm. was extremely helpful. He really took Obama under his wing and coached him, and coached him well.
Hopefully
not in tax.
You know, and I think this is what President Obama said this week is, I didn't vet him enough. Yep. I assumed certain things, and I was wrong. Yep. It is refreshing to have a president go on five shows in one day
and apologize.
And apologize five different ways, but couldn't be more clear.
Yeah, I guess the thing is kind of like in our household. If you're sorry, make the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Be sorrowful, but then now turn that sorry into a dedication to do right and undo the things you did wrong.
Correct.
I guess that's what we're going to all be watching for now is, are you learning from your mistakes, or is sorry easier to say than please?
Yeah, we got.
So we'll have to watch to see what happens. Now, if you want the full broadcast coverage of that, and it's pretty lengthy, NPR, All Things Considered on Tuesday, I think you can go back into the archives and get something off from NPR's website. The Los Angeles Times, the New York Times, and the USA Today and Washington Post all had things on it as well. WBUR's On Point also had it. So there's lots of different things that you can go to get the full report on what's going on and what some of the political analysts are saying is going to be the big upset. And I think this is a big upset for the Obama administration. Yeah. It's a black mark on vetting out things.
I'd have to say, you know, even for myself, I obviously I've said things on the show before that I'm very careful to say that I am conservative in a lot of my views, obviously, and there are some things that I certainly don't agree with in the Obama campaign.
Right.
But you got to be careful not to look at this one event and say, there we go. See, look at that. He's a criminal. And forget it. You know,
we all make mistakes.
Yeah, I think though what Obama did though was right. He did do the right thing.
Yep.
In apologizing for this.
Yep.
And so I think it was good that they didn't try to cover this up, because if they tried to cover it up
or push it through, and as we saw in a previous administration, wouldn't acknowledge that they picked the wrong person.
I know it. I know it. Pointing fingers that it was someone else's fault, and, you know, I didn't know, and blah, blah, blah. It just doesn't hold any credibility.
Look, I respect an employer that is a stand-by-your-man kind of person.
Sure.
But almost to a fault.
Yeah.
And in this case, the writing was on the wall. Mm-hmm. The effect that Tom Daschle could have had in crafting this legislation was compromised.
Yeah.
That's just the long and short of it.
It's too bad. We got to be careful. You know, we make mistakes, and there's ramifications of those mistakes. And, you know, there's a chance he could have been a good guy for this. And now it's blown because of mistakes.
There's going to be somebody else. There'll be a good person down the line.
Yeah, let's hope so. Hey, speaking of cover-ups.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. Did you guys read about... Now, the Wall Street Journal just made this release. I think it was yesterday. I just can't believe that this is still a problem. I mean, Joni, you and I are healthcare professionals.
Yeah.
This is 101 stuff in infection control.
Yeah,
you don't reuse dirty needles.
No.
Now, maybe back in the old days before we
or
had
in
all
the bush of Africa.
Well, even there. No, I even think there, even in those not-for-profits, they are the CDC is real big in infection control.
Right.
The combined efforts of different nations are really trying to keep disease and stuff down, especially in HIV-ridden areas. Mm-hmm. This is crazy, though, to hear that 1 out of 100 healthcare providers in America have not gotten the clue that you don't reuse a dirty needle.
That doesn't make sense, does it?
It doesn't.
Because today, when you have needles, they're so readily available. It's not like it was 40 years ago where you had one needle and you had the metal type of cartridge.
Right.
You had to interchange the medications with it. It's not like that.
I mean,
everything now is
down
to plastic syringes and
one time use.
It's all that way. It doesn't make sense to reuse a needle now.
No, it doesn't. In fact, I mean, let's take all the infection control out of it. Once you use a needle, it dulls. So for pain and for things like that, and of course they're injecting it into IV tubing and catheters and things like that, but the clean is clean, dirty is dirty, sterile is sterile, and you don't mix any of that.
The phrase is one and done.
CDC is now releasing next week's plans to launch an educational campaign, which I think is just ridiculous.
That's what I was going to say. How stupid is that? Okay, we need a new slogan. One needle, one syringe, only one time.
And they're paying advertising dollars to get the word out.
Yeah.
Maybe the drug dealers, right?
I don't get
that. Maybe the HIV... drug abuse person community.
Yeah. You could hear something like this amongst drug dealers, drug users, and laity. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Insulin-dependent diabetics,
yeah.
Hemophiliacs, things like that. But,
correct.
But to have to go to our licensed, certified healthcare professionals, I'm sorry, this tells me something's broken in the mm-hmm. education realm. Mm-hmm. And in fact, yeah. I interviewed somebody not too long ago who's in a nursing degree program who said, I don't touch patients or paraphernalia of any sort until I start my clinical rounds in my last year of a BSN program.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was like, what are you talking about? You don't have any labs? Mm-hmm. You don't have any practice? There's no yep. hands-on? Nope, all hands-on is on real patients. Well, to one extent, okay, but that's new to me. I mean, come on. We can be headwise mm-hmm. and practice foolish, and I'm afraid that's what's going on here. Some basic essentials are being dropped.
Right. Well, when you talk about the nosocomial infections in hospitals, and, that, yeah. and those are where the infections are being spread the most.
Yeah.
Well, if healthcare workers are being so completely ridiculous to reuse the same needle? How about needle? They're using the same.
Don't reuse the same needle either.
No. But the needle, same. Use the same needle on multiple patients. Well, there you go. It's
well, and
ridiculous.
And it said in that article too, and we'll post this on iRescueRadio.com. You'll be able to get the full article. It also was talking about you use a dirty needle on a patient, and then they're redrawing into a multi-dose mm-hmm. vial.
Yeah,
well, that vial is completely contaminated. Yeah. You have to waste it, and some of those medications are expensive. Mm-hmm.
That's standard practice
yeah.
not to do
which,
that.
You know,
yeah.
the conspiracy theory person side of me
yeah.
says, is it an administration trying to cut costs to, say, reuse needles? And there's pressure on the staff to do that. But your point is well yep. made. That's being penny-wise, pound-foolish.
It
if
is.
They're dipping that back into a yeah. more expensive device
yeah.
or solution,
mm-hmm.
and that's being wasted, any amount of money they hope to save was long gone.
Oh, yeah.
So it really begs the question that it's just sloppy.
It is.
Procedure. It is. It's misbehavior.
It's misbehavior.
Poor
and it
education.
Can't be hospital policy.
Well, you know, and we get hammered oftentimes that, you know, we're not accredited enough, we're not recognized enough for our basic life support training, when in reality we've been deemed acceptable many, many times. But and accredited. But the thing of it is that, you know, pay attention to your normal practices like infection control and proper administration of medications. That's mm-hmm. where your eyes should be. Yeah. Let us handle the other stuff that's been deemed credible by a third party.
Right.
And I'm sure Jayco feels a little bit like they got egg on the face, you know, a joint commission,
yeah.
They're known as now, because they're trying to make sure that these safe policies are being done as well. And I'll tell you right now, you know, talk about cost. The cost of having to deal with a long-term chronic illness like hepatitis, HIV, or any of those other infectious diseases that people could get because of this, that far outweighs any cost savings of
absolutely.
Reusing a needle or tubing or a vial
yeah.
or anything. So this is ridiculous.
Right in there with reusing Kleenex.
Yeah. If anybody wants to make comment on that, call in. If you've seen it happening, we'll use pseudonames like Joe Blow and things like that. But call in and let us know or email us if you've ever seen
Hokey
people
pokey.
Doing this. Yeah.
That's
hi. We've got a story from Hokey Pokey from Finoki.
He's been poked the wrong way.
How about Sal? His last name is Manila. Or Bill with the last name of Fold? Okay. Oh, I digress. Okay.
Well, on the lighter side, have you guys ever thought about those medical mysteries that you just don't get it?
Every day.
Like, have you ever wondered why it hurts when you hit your funny bone?
I know.
Or why your eyes close when you sneeze?
Mm.
Or why when you yawn, someone else yawns? Or when someone else yawns, you yawn? Or where the saying, don't let the bed bugs bite, comes from? Well, we're going to discuss that next.
Well, there we go.
Jody. Oh, yawn, nice. Dan.
Oh, now you're going to make me yawn.
No, Paul yawned.
He looks like he's about ready to fall asleep.
Whenever a person yawns, there's yawn juice that comes out that makes everybody else yawn. Didn't you know that?
That's why my eyes close when I yawn.
No, that's sneezing.
Protective.
Oh, well, let's talk about the
Jody,
reality.
Talk about the funny bone.
I will talk about the funny bone. According to this article,
uh-huh.
there is a nerve that is referred to as the funny bone, which is called the ulnar nerve.
Oh.
And it extends down the arm, across the elbow, and into the hand. And it provides sensation to the little and ring fingers.
Yep.
And it activates many of the muscles in the hand. So that's the nerve that actually gets hit when you hit your elbow and it goes, ow!
Yeah.
Like that kind
it
of
does
thing.
That or I do that?
Well, I usually do that. But hitting your funny bone ain't so funny.
Right.
That's right. But I tell you, it hurts with pain.
Yeah, it says that the ulnar nerve happens to be what? Superficially placed in the back of your elbow.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, Ed Torriello, MD, a fellow of the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons.
Yep. So you're hitting the nerve. You're actually hitting the nerve directly on the ulnar nerve, and that is what it is that makes it hurt.
You know, maybe the Lord made us that way. You know, most of those types of things are buried well within the body so that they're not over a pressure point area. Mm-hmm. That one is. That's comedy to me.
Yep.
I'm gonna leave a little vulnerability right in the back of the elbow just to remind you of your mortality.
There you go.
And it won't be so funny, will it? Mm-hmm.
You know why it's called a funny bone, though, don't
why?
You? Well, because the Latin word humerus, is actually what's used to describe that nerve, the ulnar nerve. It's the humerus. Well, humerus in us Americans. We think that word humorous actually means funny. Well, it's actually a Latin word that doesn't have anything to do with being humorous or funny.
Yeah.
But we call it the funny bone because it sounds like it's a humorous bone.
The doctor says, so I think it funny in this context that really means odd or strange.
There you go.
Dan, why do we close our eyes when we sneeze?
I saw this on Mythbusters.
Okay.
Did you? Ooh, I like that.
Trying to think what channel that's on. Is that History Channel or Discovery? Yeah. Discovery
Channel. I've heard that people believe.
And it was great. You guys should have seen this episode. They literally slowed down the video.
Yeah.
And they did all they could do to keep their eyes open. You know, they would hold it like this.
Yeah.
And they would watch as the guy sneezed.
Who volunteered to do it?
The that's two funny. Guys that host the show, they're complete yahoos. And it's hilarious to watch it. And there's... They dispelled the myth that you don't have enough pressure to blow the eyes out. Because he kept his eyes open. He was able to keep them open. But
I didn't even know that was a myth.
Don't hold my eyes open. I'm going to sneeze.
You got to keep them closed. Otherwise, they'll pop right out.
Right out of your head.
But, you know, there's the myth that if whatever you sneeze could get into your eyes. So we were designed to close the eyes, and that's a myth as well, because this obviously we've heard, you know, sneeze comes out at 200 miles an hour.
Yeah.
It's not hanging around your eyes. Now the person on the other side of you
might want to have that reaction. Yeah. Right. Or maybe that's why we close our eyes at loud noises.
Could be. Could be. Who knows?
Let's try it. Ready?
Don't.
Daniel will get afraid.
So it is a lot of folklore.
It's fictional.
The conclusion was, there really wasn't a conclusion. It's just a normal, natural body response.
Huh.
Cool.
So,
well, there you go. Another myth
that was almost solved. Anticlimactic.
It is kind of. I would have rather heard, well, because if you keep your eyes open, your eyeballs will pop out of your head.
I think that sounds better.
That would have been more fun.
Let's just spread that rumor.
Yeah.
That's keep what I grew up with.
Keep the myth alive.
Yeah. Well, sometimes even thinking about yawning will make you yawn. Mm-hmm. And when the person next to you does it, forget about it. You'll yawn, too. With all this talk about yawning, in fact, you've probably already...
dying over there.
Okay, how many people yawn when they heard that?
Excuse me here. Okay.
Well, a yawn is an instinctive behavior. You don't have to learn to do it. And yawns are even present before birth.
Really?
Says Robert Provein, a professor of psychology and neuroscience at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. Well, when one person in a group yawns, over half of the people in the group will yawn within the next 5 minutes. And the rest will at least be tempted to yawn, says Provein, who has been researching yawning for more than 20 years. Now, what's surprising is that virtually anything having to do with yawning triggers a contagious reaction.
Yep.
Now, Provein explains that while yawning is highly contagious, so are other human behaviors, like laughter. And this reaction is actually very normal and ancient. Now, when you see someone else yawn, you don't think to yourself, well, I'll yawn too, says Provein. It just happens. It's instinctive. And it is very primal. It's a primal aspect of human behavior that goes back to ancient herd mentality. Herd. Okay. Never heard of us being in a herd.
Herd mentality. All right, whatever on that one.
Well, anyways, there's a whole bunch of things, and there's a lot of articles, and we're going to put this link out there. I think there's probably hyperlinks that go to a lot of them. It'll be very entertaining, to say the least. But now we must end with this.
Yes.
Sleep tight, everyone.
Oh, I like to sleep tight.
Now that you know the answers to some of life's medical mysteries, mm-hmm. sleep tight and don't let the bed bugs bite.
The bed bugs aren't only the stuff of childhood rhymes.
Oh, no, they're not.
They're real, and they do bite. Yeah.
Nasty things.
Well, I always thought they were microorganisms.
Yeah, right.
Under the glass that you can see.
Kind of like round or ringworm isn't really a worm, it's a fungus.
Right.
No, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's really what I thought, too.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Did your brothers make you eat that worm, too?
No.
Oh.
No, no.
Well, you could have. It's a quarter stinking inch long.
What?
Look like a Lifesavers?
The bug.
Sick.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen it?
Yes. My grandma always used to talk about bed bugs because they would sleep on mattresses that were made of
what? Hay.
Right. Hay or straw.
Oh.
They didn't have mattresses like we have now, so the hay or straw would contain the bed bugs. And that's really where the bed bugs came from when you saw that hay or straw. You see them fucking there.
And now, little, I bet they were little moths.
No, they're bed bugs.
Yeah, but they've got to be larvae of some sort, I bet.
They're actually a little, I think they're spider-like is what they're like.
Really?
I believe they're spider-like.
It says here that they're
centipedal,
quarter inch long and reddish brown, and are usually detected by welts and irritations on the skin that aren't there when you go to bed, but are there when you wake up.
Yeah, I'll never forget my grandma. My grandma would always talk, it was like her thing. Whatever you do, she'd make sure the sheets are clean, the beds are clean. Every time we'd stay over at her house, it was, I don't know if maybe it's because she thought I was really dirty or it's just the thing she had. But she would talk about the bed bugs, though.
So the next time you get wished, good night, sleep tight, and don't let the bed bugs bite.
Honkies come get you.
Right. Don't let them worm larvae get you in there, bite in there, and dwell underneath your skin, little kid. But have a good night.
Yeah. Don't let anything suck your blood out during the night, all right, kid? Don't let any monsters eat your head off. Don't let them come and chop your feet off. Oh. Good night. Sleep well.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's a good...
Yeah. There's a lot of those, though. Childhood rhymes. Ring around the rosy, pocket full of posy.
Oh,
that was about the Black Plague, right?
Yeah. Man.
But,
I tell ya.
So anyways, with that note, sleep tight.
Yes.
So long.
Mm-hmm.
Farewell.
Unless you're driving at the moment.
Good night.
Don't sleep right now.
Ooh,
sleep
tight. Yeah.
Yeah,
good pleasant dreams to you.
Uh-huh.
That's a nice Lawrence Welk tune.
Yeah.
And a prayer.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't watch all Muppets either, could you, on Saturday nights?
It was a little too edgy for me.
The Muppets? Or yes. Lawrence Welk.
He's pretty edgy.
Oh, the Muppets.
Damn.
Because they would have John Denver on and some pretty evil people.
Well, they had Alice Cooper one time.
Yeah. Phenomenal golfer, by the way.
Alice Cooper's a phenomenal
lights
golfer?
Out, knockout golfer.
No.
Absolutely. And he's a conservative talk show host in D.C.
His dad was a pastor.
No.
Yeah.
And he named him Alice?
Oh. Is that his real name?
Sorry?
Like Ziggy Stardust?
Okay.
Moonraker.
Oh, man. Oh, so wow. From the helm, the mountain, the peak... The command central, the epicenter, the nucleus of all things worth listening to.
The Pike's Peak of coffee.
Mm.
Climb up, sunshine mountain.
Okay.
Signing off from iRescueRadio.com. Thanks for joining us, and I'm Roy.
I'm Jody with no bed bugs.
And I am Dan, completely in order.
Today.
Yeah.
I can tell.
Mm-hmm. Feel better.
If you have anything you would like to contribute to iRescue Radio, you can contact us toll-free at 866-661-5701 or visit our website at iRescueRadio.com. The commentaries in this podcast may not reflect the views of iRescue Radio or any of its sponsors or subsidiaries. iRescue Radio will not be held liable for any damages resulting from the advice given in this podcast.